is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Open for business. They've been open all day and night. Chance Lewis, our closer, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you to everybody watching here the day after Christmas here on FanDuel Sports Network, listening on SiriusXM channel 158. We appreciate you joining us and hit us up on X as well with all of your thoughts that you might have. We've got a lot to get to here in this hour. Jensen's going to bet the build here and see who's going to hit pay dirt for the NFL this weekend and get a preview of every single game that we have left on the docket for week 17. So a lot to get to, but I do wonder if Sean Connery might make an appearance to tell us who's going to find the end zone in today's edition of Red Alert.
Two captains, one mission, anytime touchdowns. Welcome to Red Alert.
I know Kelly Vidlin's on vacation, but you know, you can take your debates about the best submarine movies that are out there. I think Das Boot is a classic. Obviously, The Hunt for Red October has to be right there. Do you have a personal favorite in the submarine movie category?
I mean, Crimson Tide with Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington. I mean, that is very much up there. You can coin flip, you know, back just different eras, man. Hunt for Red October, you know, Gorbachev, and just in the context of when that movie came about. And then Mutiny aboard a United States submarine. Just, it's hysterical seeing. And I mean, the actor, we talk about it all the time with A Few Good Men and just the cast in that one and where they were then and where they are now. Think about the two casts of Hunt for Red October and Crimson Tide at that point when they debuted those movies and where those people are now. Just as good as it gets.
Yeah, those are all-star rosters that you have on those two films. We got some all-stars on the gridiron that might be able to find pay dirt for us here in Red Alert today. You really do like this Bengals resurgence at the end of the year. You know, the jokes are going around now like, oh, the Cowboys playing their best football when it doesn't matter. That's not really true. They'd lost three in a row. But the Bengals did get off on the good foot against the Dolphins last week. Do you think those good feelings carry over to this week?
Yeah, I mean, home games for the Bengals have been shootouts pretty much the entire year, Dave. So you kind of look at where they put up 30-plus this past week. I mean, it feels like they do it again. Chase Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, we went with them as an anytime touchdown parlay, plus $1.76 on DraftKings. Dave, you look at where the Bengals were. They were one of our considerations for Circa Millions. And when that number came out at 7.5, perhaps we shied away. And, you know, you look at just yesterday, perfect example of why you get the better of the number. We looked at the Cowboys at 7. It's 7.5 for the contest. Where does it fall? It falls at 7. So if you had the Commanders, you get in by the hair of your chinny chin chin. So could I see a backdoor cover potential here from the Cardinals against a generationally bad Bengal defense? 100%. So I think from our process standpoint, we did the right thing. But I do believe we have both these offenses putting up points down there at Paycor Stadium.
You know, some people might laugh at us and you know, maybe on the network, like, oh, you guys lament those half points. That's exactly why we do. That's why we try to be as attention to detail on these numbers as they change to give you the best numbers out there possible. And that's why we always talk about shopping around, because they always seem to bite you when you don't expect them to do that. You had some running backs here that you think maybe could find the end zone this weekend.
Well, listen, Devon Achane has been just phenomenal for the Dolphins here down the stretch. And let's go right back to a volume hog, if you will. And I know a lot of people will be relying on him in their fantasy football championship matchups that have already begun. Similarly, I think you're looking at Kyren Williams against the Atlanta Falcons on Monday night. Getting a little bit over 2-1 here, Dave, plus 207 for that anytime touchdown parlay. Again, don't overthink it, right? Two volume monsters. I know Kyren not as much as he's been in years past, but love the opportunities that both of them will receive when they get to the red zone.
All right, you got one more to get to here, and that's going to be a running back and a receiver in a new place that really has found like maybe a new home once he left Las Vegas.
Little same game parlay here when we get Jaguars and Colts from Lucas Oil Stadium. Jonathan Taylor, the easy part of this leg, in my estimation, you know, obviously going to be a huge focal point for Phillip Rivers and company. But Jacoby Myers, he's basically been wide receiver one since he's come over for Trevor Lawrence. I just wondered aloud with you last week, imagine what this offense looks like with a healthy Travis Hunter next year. And you know, hey, we thought they were trending in the right direction already when he got hurt. But man alive, the dynamic is going to be a real headache for defenses. So plus 274, little same game, anytime touchdown parlay there with Jonathan Taylor of the Colts and Jacoby Myers of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well done, Captain Ramius. Now, my question about Sean Connery, and God rest his soul, one of the best actors I've ever seen, certainly in my lifetime. Were all of his accents the same, even though he played a Russian captain? He played an Irish officer in one of my favorite movies of all time, The Untouchables. But yet it sounded like it was the same. It was the same accent, wasn't it?
To me, it's so crazy to watch him early Bond, you know, when, and for those kids who haven't seen it yet, go back and watch Sean Connery in his prime. Yes, he had his. What is it? The Irish part of it coming through there. But I'll tell you, he nailed everything about being the Russian skipper there in Hunt for Red October. Absolutely.
Fantastic. You know what else is fantastic? Fremont Street. If you haven't been, it really truly is an experience, and it is always on. But this New Year's Eve, they're going to turn it up on the Fremont Street experience all the way up. Ring in 2026 at Counter Under the Canopy, Countdown Under the Canopy, happening December 31st, all night long. So you're going to get six live concerts on three stages that feature Robin Thicke, CeeLo Green, and Chingy, plus a massive countdown and a light spectacular on the iconic Fremont Street Canopy. One ticket, one night, just $60, and the party starts at 7 p.m. So grab your tickets now at FremontExperience.com, the Slotzilla box office, or any gate location on December 31st. As somebody obviously working there at Circa at the Mothership in Las Vegas for 4 years, man, Fremont Street really is an experience if you haven't been. I know you know all about it here, Jensen, as well. That is a really good deal, people, right there to get that all for just $60. Yeah, count me in if I was still in Las Vegas for New Year's 2026. Week 17 of the NFL, let's break down some of these games here. We talked about the Bears and the Niners on Sunday Night Football, which, you know, again, depending on what happens tomorrow with the Packers and the Ravens, it might not have a whole lot of importance for the Bears. If the Packers were to lose to the Ravens, they would wrap up the division. But still, that one seed would be at play potentially if Seattle were to stumble. How do you approach this if you are Ben Johnson? We talk about culture building. We know how it happened in Detroit with Dan Campbell. They went out to San Francisco, if you remember, almost in this exact same spot with everything to play for the following week against Minnesota. The game was meaningless for the Lions, win or lose. And yet they went out there, and Dan Campbell, when Ben Johnson was still there as the offensive coordinator, mind you, went out there and put up a whipping on the Niners. So is that what you expect the Bears to do now with this version of Ben Johnson? We don't care about the result on Saturday. We're playing football on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, again, from a focus standpoint, and you want everyone assignment football, let's continue what has made us as good as they are. You're just running into a buzzsaw right now with where the Niners are. And we watched what they did against a Colts defense on Monday Night Football. It feels like this defense has done enough here to be able to limit big opportunities. Now, I would not be shocked if both these teams do get into the 20s here. The total is intriguing for both these clubs at 52.5. I would tend to stay under there a little bit, Dave, but I have a hard time not laying the three with the Niners, just the way they've been going right now. Obviously, they know they have all of what they want to play for right in front of them, right in their own backyard. They do not have to get on a plane the rest of the year if they win out. So big one and big implications for the Niners. Same to be said here. The Bears will know what they have to do when they go to bed on Saturday night after what we see with the Ravens and the Packers.
Eagles and Bills, we talked about this one a little bit, and some Eagle money's been coming in there at the Borgata in Atlantic City to push this number down a little bit for the Philadelphia backers there. Still two pretty much everywhere else for this one at Highmark Stadium. And again, both teams kind of feel like they know what their fate's going to be in the playoffs. Looks like the 3 seed here for the Eagles. Looks like a wild card route here for the Bills. But if I'm Nick Sirianni, quiet is kept. Last couple weeks, you know what's worked better? The running game. So if I'm Sirianni and company, Jensen, don't we just reestablish 26? It doesn't have to necessarily be for all 4 quarters. But the point is, if this team's going to do anything in the second season, forget about Jalen Hurts. Forget about A.J. Brown and that drama. Doesn't it have to start up front and that the Eagles have to be able to run the ball better? And what better opportunity to do that against what we think is a decent front in the Buffalo Bills?
Not only Saquon, but Jalen Hurts using his legs too. Look at the uptick and usage for him the last handful of weeks. A completely different dynamic. And this defense, you know, you look at points allowed just in the NFC, only the Seahawks have allowed fewer points than the Eagles. And so while their point differential is nowhere near, you know, Seattle is plus 164. The Rams are plus 158. I've been saying it forever. This is still a Super Bowl caliber defense in Philadelphia. Mm. And just overall, being objective, again, I asked the question, Dave, would you rather want to go to the city of brotherly love to try and win a wild card game? And I don't think Philly really cares, you know, where they are. Are they the 2 seed? Are they the 3 seed? I think they're just like, yep, Listen, we know what makes us good. Let's get there and feel good about ourselves when we get to wild card weekend.
When we come back, I want to talk about the Battle of Florida and why I have a big time dilemma, at least from a rooting interest, if not a betting interest. We'll discuss that next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue looking ahead here to week number 17 of the NFL slate. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And I mentioned going to break here that I've got a dilemma. Maybe you can help me out with this. And sometimes as bettors, these are actually good things, even though we're doing these kind of tongue-in-cheek, to actually remember that sometimes previous wagers that you have in your portfolio should not dictate how you look at a game coming up this week. I think Wes Reynolds here in the network has always done a really good job of compartmentalizing, right? Of going, all right, in a vacuum, I have to look at this game if I'm wagering it without the context of, oh, do I have a futures ticket on this? What do I want to have happen for that, right? Jensen, it's hard to do as a bettor knowing your other positions that you have. But let's say when you look at this Dolphins game here against the Buccaneers, for instance, I've got a bunch of tickets on the Dolphins win total over 6.5. So they've lost the last two. I only needed one win in the last four to get home. And yet I'm still sitting there hoping they can get one more win in the last two. But I also have a ticket on the Buccaneers, a very long shot, at 30-1 to win the NFC. In order for that ticket to have a chance, which is a bigger ticket with that number, obviously than, you know, minus $1.20 on a win total, I need the Buccaneers to win that division. They're 6-point favorites in the Battle of Florida against the Dolphins. How do you compartmentalize when you have different tickets for a specific game where maybe you kind of have something on either side?
Yeah, again, this will be an exercise for me once we find out, you know, really where the Bears seeding ultimately ends up. I have that 60-1 future on them to win the NFC. And so my real dilemma then begins with, you know, let's say they end up getting the 2 seed and looking at that matchup. Is it, you know, strictly what my initial, you know, wager was? Do I take whoever the Bears play, take the points, because in all likelihood, the Bears would be a decent home favorite in that wild card round? do I start monetizing there at that point by trying to not only keep the Bears ticket alive, but also be able to gain a little bit? Maybe they don't cover, but they advance, something like that. You know, we're still alive together with our Chargers to win the AFC West. We'll know if that's alive after tomorrow afternoon against the Texans. So yeah, it is an exercise, and that's why we tell people, not telling you how to spend your money, not telling you how to do it, mm-hmm. just offering the paths to try and maximize ROI. And I'll go back to our Eagles situation too. I still have a Chargers Eagles Super Bowl exacta at 34-1. And so depending on where their paths are through the AFC, you know, if we can get them to championship weekend, I'm probably going to monetize both sides of that and maybe try and shoot the moon and get everything through. So again, a lot of things at play here, but this is why throughout the year, Dave, we try and tell people play numbers. Sometimes yours was a great exercise, 30-1 in the Bucks. If somehow they turned it around 3 weeks later, the number is capsized to probably 15, right, maybe even 14-1. So, you know, the exercise is why we do it. Not all futures get home. We're well aware of that, but it's about really diversifying the portfolio to have those maximum ROI opportunities.
And as disappointing as their loss was last week to the Panthers, and they're 6-point favorites here against the Dolphins, the Panthers are up against it this weekend against Seattle. Seattle still has everything to play for the NFC West, and certainly a number one seed. And when I look at the analytics here of it, the Panthers, by the way, are still underwater, if you can believe this, to make the playoffs and or win the division, which is the same prospect here, because they're not getting a wild card. We know that. So 47.5% chance. The reason why I bring that up is the Buccaneers are still over a 50% chance at 52.5. If, let's say, the Bucs win their game, Seattle, even they lose to the Panthers, it doesn't matter. If Carolina beats the Bucs next week in the last game of the regular season, Carolina wins the division. For that purpose, not to say that this game doesn't matter to Carolina, but the bigger fish to fry would be the following week. Could you see Dave Canales and company saying, this isn't going our way early against Seattle? Why are we putting in this energy when the most important game we have comes up the following week? It kind of gives off the Pitt and Notre Dame vibes. Remember that with the press conference of, hey, if we get beat by Notre Dame by 1,000, who cares? The bigger game is next week. That feels like what we're looking at with Seattle against Carolina.
Yeah, it is going to be one of those intriguing spots here, too. Not only for the Niners, who will know exactly what's at stake for them before they take the field on Sunday Night Football, but also on that NFC side. I mean, we've looked at it the last couple of weeks. You know, where do you feel? Is there any number that is viable for you outside of an NFC West team to win the NFC? And again, once we kind of see where the seedings are, that's another great exercise too, from a futures number, getting it before even week 18, right? When we see what happens tomorrow with the Packers, you know, you may have a slight fluctuation in the market, but I think that's also another great exercise. Can anyone, just NFC specific, be able to beat one of the NFC West teams?
So with Seattle being that 7-point favorite, I do wonder, that could be a good live spot to see the way Carolina plays it. If things don't go well, do they wave the flag here early and prepare for the Buccaneers in the following week? Jaguars and Colts, Jags cannot, there's no let up there for Jacksonville down the stretch. And the Colts, obviously, we know Phillip Rivers, the great story there. They're 6.5-point home dogs against Jacksonville. Look, the offense was fine last week against the Niners. It was the defense that was a real problem. But Jacksonville going on the road now, laying 6.5. I know the Colts kind of dejected after that loss to the Niners. How up will they really be for this game? But again, if old man Rivers is out there, you know they're going to be giving maximum effort, at least on that offensive side. Where are you in the Jags now? Because you and I talked about them weeks ago. Boy, have they turned the corner. They haven't lost since the bye week. So Liam Cohen really turned this ship around quickly in Duval.
He did, and now it's the buy-in. What did we say at the beginning of the year? We heard Liam Cohen talk about he wanted to utilize Trevor Lawrence's run game more. He wanted to allow him the freedom to be able to escape the pocket and be able to create it. How many games have we seen, Dave, third and, you know, mid or just late in a drive where it's been that rushing attack from Trevor Lawrence has been the difference? They've also had period, you know, with ETN and Bashel Tutin, a very much more or a deeper run attack, if you will, just in the running back room alone. Yep. And what can you say about their defense, man? This has been the one part of the AFC, Dave, where I talked about it off the top of the show. You look at a lot of these AFC teams that are in, a lot of them have really good defenses. So I won't be shocked that Jacksonville has had one of the best records against playoff teams all year. And so they have proven time and again that not only can they hang, but they beat these playoff teams. So that's part of your handicap when we get into the second season. Regardless, I think, of the Jaguars matchup, whether it would be as a division winner hosting that wild card weekend, or somehow, some way they'd have to go on the road, that's a team you circle and say they have shown you in both facets, right? They've shown you at home in Duval. They've shown you on the road. We can do it. And so they're certainly a team to watch here moving forward.
We've talked a lot today about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson being doubtful in that game. That number has gone up to 4.5 here to the way the Packers. The reason why this is so significant for the Steelers is if the Ravens lose tomorrow on Saturday, their game against the Browns is meaningless to the boys in the Steel City. And they're laying 3 on the road right now against Cleveland. I got to be honest with you, even if the game means something to Pittsburgh, means everything to Pittsburgh, I'd still think I'd rather be on the side of the Browns plus the 3. If the Steelers wrap up the division before they step foot in Cleveland on Sunday, could you see a scenario where we see Mason Rudolph and we don't see Aaron Rodgers and we don't see a lot of these starters for the Steelers if they do in fact wrap up the division? Then I wonder, Cleveland would flip to a favorite at that point.
This is going to be one of those spots, no matter what, you're going to get, because of the rivalry, the Browns, regardless if the Steelers wake up as AFC North champions, you're getting that. And also remember, Myles Garrett, one sack away from setting the single season record. So you have not only the rivalry motivation, but you also have the individual motivation. Those guys will come to play. And I know that some people have put out there already, could you imagine, because of what's happened years ago, Dave, that Myles Garrett sacks Mason Rudolph to set the record with the hole, taking the helmet and swinging? Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be some theater if that happens at First Energy Stadium?
We would call that full circle if that happened. If that thing happened the way that it could, that would be full circle indeed. And also, couldn't you see like a Michael Strahan, Brett Favre moment here for Aaron Rodgers if he sees Garrett barreling down and he just takes a slide and a knee and kind of congratulates him on getting the all-time sack record against me? I don't know if Aaron has that in him or not, but I know how much consternation there was for years over Favre and the dive that people think he took against Michael Strahan to get the sack record. But that's going to go down here, we would assume, the next 2 weeks with Myles Garrett. All right, when we come back, let's do a little college football talk as well. We do have some other games to get to in the NFL as we continue breaking down every single game on the Week 17 slate, but also maybe some weekend bowl games that we think we can find. Jensen, these are the last of the ones before we get to the college football playoff next week. Just a little teaser. Have you already identified some that you think are playable?
I do. And I've already got some stuff in pocket, so it's going to be fun to break it down even further and see where some actionable content is.
All right. Well, I have one game that I've got my eye on. I can't wait to see if we agree before we know exactly what that game might be. We'll discuss it next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this day after Christmas edition. Appreciate everybody waking up this morning. Hope you got everything you wanted under the tree yesterday for Christmas, and having a great start to the weekend. A big football weekend here as we break down every game in week number 17. And I want to get to the Patriots and the Jets. Patriots really feel like they righted the ship, maybe really ended the Ravens' hopes last week with that comeback down 11 in the fourth quarter. Not only do they win, they come back and cover all numbers, win outright on the money line, et cetera. I do take them a little bit more seriously here in the betting market, in the futures market now when I look at them, because I do like their balance. And if they can get the one seed, it's a big if, because Denver still has a real good shot, Jacksonville an outside shot as well, of getting that one seed. I wonder if Vrabel is ready to win this year. The reason why I say that, Jensen, in context with, say, the Lions, that their window might have been the best opportunity 3 years ago when they gacked that game away against San Francisco. So I know in the betting market, sometimes we go, oh, this team's too young. Do you look at the Patriots that way? And again, big favorites, obviously, against the Jets this weekend to go ahead and keep the winning ways going. And if they win, they're going to win the AFC East here and wrap that up. I trust this team. I do. I don't know that they're dynamic. I don't know if they scare me, but I trust them in that I don't think they're going to beat themselves. I think you have to go beat them.
They have the best point differential in the AFC, Dave, plus 110. No other team is above 100. The Jags just two away from that at plus 98. You are also looking at the only team in the NFL this year that is undefeated on the road. Perfect 7-0. Remember, we've had this conversation the last handful of weeks. Did it mean more for the Broncos or the Patriots to get the one seed? And resoundingly, you and I have said for multiple weeks, Denver needs it because of the way that they are. They're 7-1 at home. The Bears, I think, the only other team outside of the Rams, both of them are 6-1 respectively at home as well. The Bills are 6-1 too. But as far as teams that are alive for the one seed, Denver in the AFC, I think, needed it more. Patriots have a couple of different ways they can do it, and they have shown, Dave, and I think this is where you differentiate them from Denver. Patriots have shown multiple times, if you need to play a shootout, they're fine with that. They can do it. If you want to rough and tumble it, if you want to, you know, run clock, if you want to play field position, we're happy to do that too. So I think they are well-equipped right now. And as you mentioned, Buffalo will be scoreboard watching there at Orchard Park as they get ready in the 4 o'clock window. But basically, here's your clinch scenario. Patriots win, Buffalo loses or ties. Patriots are AFC East champs. Or if the Patriots tie and Buffalo loses, New England wins the AFC East.
We like to say you can make good money on bad teams. They don't get a whole lot worse than the Giants and the Raiders. I mean, this game, yes, it's actually going to be played. They're actually going to play this game in Las Vegas out there in the desert at Allegiant Stadium. Now, you and I talked a little bit about it earlier in the program. Go back and listen on your time if you'd like. I do think there's motivation potentially for one side of this equation. I don't know how much on the other, but you also brought up an interesting point about the Giants. If they did get this number one seed, would they already, for the number one draft pick, would they already be looking to move on from Jackson Dart? That's an interesting conversation to have, I think. The Raiders on the other side here, this is where I think the motivation comes in. And yes, you know, Brock Bowers is done for the year, their best offensive player. Pete Carroll, if he's trying to make a pitch to Mark Davis that he's still the guy for next year, I think he can only make that pitch in the last 2 weeks and say, look, I can figure this thing out. Don't you think that the motivation side is on the Raiders side and the bigger picture for the Giants is, you know, sorry, Mike Kafka, you're not going to be the head coach next year. Everybody knows that. We are having a complete cleaning out, whether or not that goes up to the front office or not. But from a coaching standpoint, it's going to look different probably at both places, but I think Pete's still fighting actively for his job.
You look at some of the betting splits and just kind of taking away how awful both these teams have been this year. In this matchup, right now on DraftKings, 42% of the bets, 72% of the money, you can still find plus 1.5 for the Raiders right now. Bets pretty much dead even on the total, but 75% on the under 41.5. So again, shop around for the best prices and the best lines there for what you want to do. If you look at where, you know, some of the scenarios are, Dave, there is an actual scenario where the Giants can lock up the number one pick after this week. The simplest one is if they lose to the Raiders, the Jets win or tie against the Patriots, and the Browns beat the Steelers. Okay, there's like 11 different scenarios here. I'm not going to go through it, but you know, the Giants right now, the clearest path, if they lose, especially against the Raiders here on Sunday afternoon.
I mean, Al Davis, just lose, baby. That wasn't the motto for Al. He'd be rolling over in his grave right now. Just win, baby. That's what they say out there for the silver and black. Cardinals and Bengals. And again, I thought the Bengals were going to be a really good team this year. I had them in February as a number I liked for the Super Bowl. That didn't work out. But that happened because Joe Burrow goes down. And Al Golden, let's be honest, year number one of that defense, it did not look a whole lot better than Lou Anarumo had last year as well. So they've got a lot of work to do in the offseason. But still, 7 points, it's gone up to 7.5. We know how big that hook can be. Just ask Cowboy backers yesterday. Jensen, what do we make of this number here for two bad football teams?
Yeah, I've told you I've really liked the Bengals all week. That total doesn't shock me. I think they've got a great chance to get to it, if not over it. Both defenses just so beleaguered. The Bengals historically bad. The Cardinals injury after injury the last several weeks. Just from kind of where we are right now, the over is probably where I would go with conviction here. 38% of bets, 71% of handle. It's up to 53.5 on DraftKings, Dave. So again, let me remind people, shop around for your best number. Remember how this game opened too, Dave. I think this was 51.5. It's already up 2 full points on DraftKings. So here's your thing. Do we get a punt from either team? You know, are both offenses just going up and down for a track meet against both of these really bad defenses?
Yeah, a stop, if it's a punt, that's going to feel like a turnover. That's for sure with these two. And again, sometimes at this point of view, do you really want to tackle if you're playing defense on two teams that are going absolutely nowhere? Obviously this year, we'll see about next year. Saints and Titans, what's interesting about this game, I know these are two really bad teams, but I feel like both of them now at the end of the year are starting to find their footing a little bit. So, like, this is an upswing for two teams that have had dismal regular seasons. And, again, I don't know if Mike McCoy is going to be coming back here for Tennessee as well as the interim guy there. We know Kellen Moore is coming back in New Orleans. And we know why Tyler Shuck right now is the second betting choice to win Rookie of the Year. That's because Kellen Moore is doing a little bit down in New Orleans what he did with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl last year in their offense. I don't know that I'm willing to lay 2.5 on the road with the Saints. And I do. I like what I'm seeing from Cam Ward and company here at the end of the year for the Titans.
I think they win it outright. This was a game you and I agreed on in millions. We played it in the contest at +2.5. So we'll happily take the points, but I think they win it outright, man. You continue that momentum. I get it. It's Chris Oladok in there for the Chiefs just a week ago, but at home, building momentum. Yet again, another schedule spot where credit where it's due. Tyler Shuck, Kellen Moore, that group has looked great. But I just think right here, we find Tennessee doing enough defensively to be able to limit what is still a suspect group week in and week out. And I mean, Cam Ward has shown some flashes here as of late. Love the Titans outright here on Sunday.
Okay, for offensive Roy, the rookie of the year, we gave out weeks ago on this program, we said, man, Tyler Shuck, 250-1. I mean, we talked about it. You should just throw some pizza money on it there, people. If you did that, and I know some people did listen, we appreciate them listening to us and taking that advice. Now that he's the second betting choice at 4-1, and Tetterell McMillan is the favorite at -310, if you've got a 250-1 in pocket ticket, would you come back on the favorite on McMillan to do the exercise that we talk about here, monetizing? Because we didn't know if we could get all the way home. But boy, has it made the indentation in the market. I don't know that even you and I thought it could get to this short at 4 from 250-1. But would you advise people coming back on McMillan? Or is Ibuka still alive at 7-1? Is it Travion Henderson at 20-1? What if Jackson Dart goes off for the last 2 weeks? Is this market still open, or is it really just a two-horse race?
I think it's a two-horse race, and here's the thing. It may not be wins or losses that decides it, you know, and it's why we don't get in a lot of times in these markets is the subjectivity of it. If Tetterell McMillan has 8 catches for 110 and a touchdown, and Tyler Shuck only throws for $170, you know, and somehow they sneak across the line and beat the Titans by 1. Is that enough? I mean, McMillan goes to a $5 favorite heading into next week. And then you potentially have the NFC South on the line, all eyes on them. So yeah, I think it's 2-horse race. Ibuka looked great for a while, but man, really steadily came down in production during this swoon here for the Buccaneers offense.
And what a swing it's been if you've had Jackson Dart tickets. From a long shot at the beginning of the year, triple digits, right? And then all of a sudden he gets in the starter's role. He looks great. He's like the short shot to get it. Now he's back to 25-1. That's why I will say this. I'm glad at least the market is waiting till all the precincts have voted before we cast those ballots. So let's play all 17 of an 18-week season and then see where the cookies crumble at that point. When we come back, let's get our best bets and some looks into college football. There's 3 bowl games on the docket today and a lot on Saturday that might get that clicker working away from the NFL as well. We'll discuss those next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in by the books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books on this Friday morning edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. If you're looking for the perfect holiday gift this time of year or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the year, well, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. So you get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from bowl season, NFL playoffs, March Madness, and the Masters. What a great time of the year to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Plus, you're going to get our college football playoff betting guide, which is out right now, expert playoff brackets, power ratings, college football playoff and bowl best bets, and access to game previews for every single bowl game on VSiN.com. So give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, let's get to some of these bowl games, because I felt like for the Hawaii-Cal game, and we were on the right side of that one, Hawaii comes back with a miracle cover, but the game goes over, which is where I had my money. I felt like that was the first bowl game that you looked at and you went, wow, these teams are trying. You know, we could bet on it because I felt like the coaches you knew were intact, right? The quarterbacks, you didn't have to worry about an unproven third stringer we didn't know about. When you look at three games today and then a bigger slate tomorrow, are there any games already that you've got in pocket that you feel like they're bettable because of some of those reasons we talked about?
Yeah, and the New Year's Eve, obviously, when we get back to the college football playoff, it'll be Miami and Ohio State. And we did the exercise earlier this week on a 6-point teaser. So I had had Miami plus 10 in pocket. And then you brought up a great idea, and it's live after the Cowboys. We teased them down to 2, and then we got Ohio State down to 1. So we've got a 9, essentially an 8-point middle there, 9-point middle. That we can find potentially to hit both. Now, my heart of hearts, because of my futures wager on Miami, I'd want them to pull through. But essentially, we have a break even where that wager that I have on the teaser will offset the one that not only has Miami on the spread, but also that future ticket as well. So we're in a good spot there. The other one, and I told you this multiple times, I doubled down on it. I had Texas Tech plus 1.5. They went up to 2.5. I went back and re-bet it. I don't know what in the heck is happening here, but just checking some of the updated splits here. You're at 55% of bets, 75% of handle on Oregon, minus 2.5. And even the money line is at $1.25 now, 53% of bets, 65% of handle. I guess the layoff is part of it, but at the same time, I go back to you. Like, what did you see from Oregon, at least against JMU in a group of 5, that you're like, okay, for sure, going up against a remarkably better defense and more talented and faster defense that the Red Raiders have. I don't know if I've watched plenty of Oregon this year. I had Dante Moore on a college fantasy football team. Like, there are positions where Texas Tech can really force pressure. And that front 7, I'm telling you, that defensive front is going to give Oregon a lot of problems if they can't get a run game going as well.
This is what I've heard, right? The conjecture is Oregon got, if you want, they got their scare. That wasn't a scare. Okay, they got backdoored for a cover in a game that was never in jeopardy. And the Oregon players allegedly are taking it hard. They felt like they didn't play well. So if that constitutes a scare, that's enough to bet up Oregon to 2 against Texas Tech? I don't see it either. I'm with you, but that's what the conjecture is, right? Okay, Oregon got a quote-unquote scare. Not really, against Madison. That game was never in doubt. So I think they're going to get a real scare from Texas Tech. If you're looking for a scare, you're going to get it from the Red Raiders, because that team is going to be loaded for bear and ready to go. So if you're looking for one Oregon, you don't have to manufacture it. You're going to get a real test here coming up on Wednesday on New Year's Day. A couple games I want to ask you about here on the Saturday slate that I am intrigued by. I've not gotten to the window on yet. But one of them is Georgia Tech against BYU, 2 ranked teams. BYU could have made the case. Their only losses were to Texas Tech. The committee never bothered to talk about why they got downgraded for losing in their conference championship game, right? We pick and choose which teams can get downgraded with a loss and which teams don't. But somehow they downgrade Kalani Sitake and his group against Brent Key's group and Georgia Tech. And these are 2 coaches now that we'd heard their names, certainly Satake here, potentially leaving. He didn't. So they got to be excited to have their coach back. But Brent Key's name kept popping up, too, in potential bigger jobs out there. Now that these guys look like that they're both staying, I feel like you're going to get a really good effort. Does that get you to an over of 56? That these teams do mirror each other a little bit, and I kind of feel like the effort is certainly going to be there for four quarters.
Boy, I think the number is right on it, my friend. I was looking more at your Saturday slate overall because you and I have talked a little Penn State and Clemson.
Yes,
and
that's the other game.
I was looking at a moneyline parlay of Clemson and BYU. I think that line is sharp there at four. It was what, three maybe a week or so ago in favor of BYU. Yep. So right now, a Clemson BYU moneyline parlay, that's plus $1.51. Very intrigued by that. If you want to get greedy and you want to add the Black Knights of Army, I think that one is kind of fun, plus +225. Army has UConn in the Fenway Bowl from Fenway Pack. So I think you can get creative here. If you're not comfortable with the spreads, then I would look at Saturday because what we have eight bowl games on Saturday, yeah. I believe. So you a couple of ways to get creative on that. But yeah, I wouldn't mind Army on the money line parlayed with either a Clemson or a BYU if that's the way you want to go.
I know our esteemed producer, Joe Friso, told us that he went to, I believe, the first inauguration of the Pinstripe Bowl where my Syracuse Orange were in that game. I'm sure he had a wonderful time because I remember how cold it was that day. To watch that game. For the Pinstripe Bowl this year, it is Penn State against Clemson. I do look to the Clemson side here, laying the small number of three, and I like your idea of the money line parlay here with BYU to get that to even a more affordable price. But from a standalone spot here, Jensen, I just look at Penn State and I go, I know they've got to be excited coming out of the rubble of what this year was, but really for me, it's more about Dabo and the way he's going to approach this bowl game. Because again, certain coaches look at this as the turning of the page, almost just like forgetting about what this year was. That could be more the Penn State side. Whereas Dabo, I think, is going to use this as, we're still Clemson. Let's go out and put a big number on a wounded duck in Penn State and start our year this way, to look at this as a beginning rather than an end. Do you see that way, at least the mentality of a Dabo Swinney?
Certainly could. And I think this number is too short at three. I think Clemson covers this at least by six. This feels like a touchdown win from Clemson. And make no mistake about it, if you just want to look at on the merits, you look at what Clemson can run out offensively, what are you getting offensively from Penn State? Really? I mean, that to me, if you're trying to take the points there, we don't advocate usually for teasing in college, nope. But I mean, you would have to get Penn State to double digits for me to get anywhere close to entertain them right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just feel like three is a really playable number here for the Clemson side. I will be backing Dabo to get that done here tomorrow in Pinstripe Bowl there in Yankee Stadium. What do you have in pocket here for our friends maybe watching on FanDuel Sports Network? I think you have an NBA play that you like.
Right back to the association. It has been a really fun year. And I guess for most casual fans, the NBA year began yesterday with the Christmas slate. So we're going to go to our friends in a matchup. I always love these of FanDuel Sports Networks, if you will. FanDuel Sports Network, Sun and Southeast. We've got the Heat in Atlanta tonight against the Hawks. I think we see a lot of points tonight, Dave. Like the over 246. And I like the Heat plus 4.5. I think this one can be close. And there have been times where Atlanta has had big-time leads, and then they just evaporate. And the same can be said for the Heat. So another great live betting spot, too. If you were involved with the Knicks and the Cavs on Christmas Day, similar spot there if you took the Knicks anywhere when they were down double digits. Boy, that got home and then some. So I like the Heat and the Hawks over 246. Also like the Heat catching the 4.5. If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network Detroit, we have been very profitable with backing Pistons games. Let's back more offense. A lot of points, I think we see. This number has come down a little bit, Dave, as the morning has gone on here. I played the Pistons and the Jazz over 244.5. Just feel like both these offenses and especially the defense for the Jazz that has kind of been non-existent at that point. Like the Pistons, they are a heavy favorite in this one for good reason. But for me, like the Pistons and the Jazz over 244.5 later on tonight.
All right, two NFL games to go with those bowl games tomorrow here. So a lot to get to. Obviously, week 17 on Sunday. You and I will be back on Monday to recap everything. But when we come back Monday, it's going to be a little bit different weather-wise in your neck of the woods and my neck of the woods. When I see you next time, it's going to be really cold in our respective cities. So enjoy one more weekend of heat, everybody. Get down on some winning tickets, and we will see you on Monday right here on VSiN by the Books. If you've been watching here on FanDuel Sports Network, you can get more VSiN. All you have to do is go to the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com, Gil Alexander. And we've got Danny Higgins in Ride and Shotgun today. A numbers game is up next.